is my Son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. These are the words we hear from the heavenly voice, the words spoken at Jesus' baptism. You are my beloved. These are the words we hear from God spoken at our own baptism. But can you really hear those words? You are my beloved. I mean, sure, right, we're loved by God, no big deal. But you are my beloved. Listen, those words may be harder to hear than they might seem at first. You are my beloved. What does it mean to be beloved? In our own baptism, we are united and we share Christ's baptism. But just as John the Baptizer realizes in our gospel lesson, Jesus doesn't need to be baptized. He is the one human ever who does not need to be cleansed, to be washed clean, to be restored to right relationship with God. So rightfully, John recognizes this and says to Jesus, No. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. We are the ones who need to be baptized, not Jesus, because we cannot get into right relationship with God on our own. We are the ones who need to be healed. We need to be cleansed. We need to be reconciled to God. And we need to hear, you are my beloved. There's a popular movie that came out almost 20 years ago where we see a powerful image of what happens when someone really hears those words. In O Brother, Where Art Thou, it is loosely based on Homer's Odyssey, and we find Pete, Delmar, and Everett in 1930s Mississippi escaping from prison. Free from their chains, they narrowly escape capture and stop for a rest in the woods. And then we get an image of baptism that captures the need for cleansing, and it also captures the joy in really hearing, you are my beloved. So let's watch it.
Make no sense.
It's a fool who looks for logic in the chambers of the human heart. Now, what the hell is that saying?
Appears to be some kind of a congregation. Care for some gopher?
No, thank you, Delmar. A third of a gopher would only arouse my appetite without bedding her back down.
Oh, you can have the whole thing. Me and Pete already had one. We ran across a whole gopher village.
Hard times flush the chump. Everybody's looking for answers. Enjoy. Where the hell's he going?
Delmar's been saved.
Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's a straight and narrow from here on out. And heaven everlasting's my reward.
Delmar, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry.
The preacher said all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo.
I thought you said you was innocent of those charges.
Well, I was lying. And the preacher said that sin's been washed away, too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water is fine.
Come on in, boys. The water's fine. That's what Delmar says to Pete and Everett in this scene from O Brother, Where Art Thou? Now, chances are you've never seen a baptism quite like this in real life. I mean, maybe you have, but not here at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. This mass baptism in the dirty river looks very little like what you usually see here. But it's probably possible, maybe likely, that Jesus' baptism looked more like Delmar's. Who knows? But we do hear some great words. Come on in, boys, the water's fine. It's a great call to worship. It's a great call to new life, to the renewed life that comes in baptism. Baptism calls us to new life, one lived in right relationship with God. And though Jesus did not need to do this, he did. Jesus chose to be baptized. And in doing so, he became the teacher and the prototype for his followers, for us. His obedience paves the way for the disciples' obedience. And for them, too, the promise of being called beloved children of God. His obedience paves the way for our obedience and the promise of our being called beloved children of God. Now, Jesus says that he does all of this to fulfill all righteousness. To do what? In our gospel reading, John the Baptist asks Jesus what he is doing being baptized, and Jesus replies that this is to fulfill all righteousness. So what is righteousness? The word probably doesn't mean what you think it means. It's not about the sort of self-righteousness that we know about. It doesn't mean moral rectitude or ethical conformity. It means to be in right relationship with God. It means to be living in covenant with God. None of us is righteous. And I'm not saying that none of us has ever done anything right, but rather I'm saying that our life with God and with God's children is out of whack. It needs to be set right. Jesus has become our righteousness. Jesus has done for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, namely, he has put things right between us and God. And then righteousness means living in congruence with the demands of a just God. It means seeing our lives not as our own to use as we please, but rather as God's gifts to be used as God pleases. Will Willimon says it this way: when we do right, when we hold one another to account, when we urge one another to be all that God intends for us to be, and courageously allow others to demand the best for us, we are fulfilling the righteousness made possible in Jesus Christ. So we can confess our sin as we do regularly here because in Jesus Christ our sin is forgiven. We can be honest about our shortcomings and not lie because Jesus has put us in a relationship with God that can't be undone, even by our own sin. Delmar, before he went down to that river, lived a pretty depraved life. We know he robbed a Piggly Wiggly, and he lied about it. As a thief on the run, he pretty clearly could never get right with God on his own accord. And spoiler alert, he's not a totally changed man after baptism. It's not all straight and narrow for him, as he declares. But the promise is true as much for us as it is for scoundrels like Delmar. We are beloved by God, and in Jesus Christ we are made right with God. Scoundrel, or just your average sinner, we are all beloved by God. Those of us who show up here regularly need to be reminded of what a gift it is to be loved by a God who is righteous and has in Jesus Christ made the means for us to be so as well. And so this morning, we will be celebrating and remembering our baptism. We will reaffirm the covenant of baptism and be reminded of what a gift it is to be named and claimed and loved by God. And so praise God for this amazing gift. Amen.